Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, hope you're doing well. OG Anunoby is in his first trade rumors of his NBA career, I believe. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that since he has been a staple of the Raptors, the present and the future, and kind of what this means, the reporting around it and all that. So make sure to like and subscribe. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you're just listening to the podcast, kick back and enjoy it. And yeah, let's talk about this report from Jake Fisher. So Jake Fisher has gotten a lot of things correct. And the conversation in this article, the way it's reported, I don't think is bad by any means. It's responsible in saying where the reporting has come from and all that kind of stuff. So first, let's acknowledge that Jake Fisher has gotten a lot of stuff right. He was the guy who actually scooped that Scottie Barnes was going to the Raptors with the fourth pick and is a responsible and good reporter. Tons of great work. His piece will be linked. But let's read that opening part of it to just make sure we know what's being said here. So, quote, following a standout season from Rookie of the Year Scottie Barnes, word has circulated among rival front offices that Anunoby grew dissatisfied at times with his role in Toronto, where Barnes joined Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet as the primary ball handlers in Nick Nurse's offense, end quote. And that was followed up by, quote, two sources with knowledge of the dynamic told Bleacher Report that Anunoby has not directly expressed discontent with the situation with the Raptors. Perhaps the conversation around him has been driven more by external interest in acquiring the fifth-year forward services, end quote. Okay, so that is basically the most important thing that we have to acknowledge, is that Jake Fisher, even in these reports, you know, when the headline says, does OG Anunoby want out of Toronto? A lot of people don't pick their headlines and they want as much traffic as possible. He's giving responsible reporting. The intention here is to suggest that other teams want OG, and OG had a smaller role than maybe he expected, or maybe that most people expected of OG. So this kind of drives the intel around him. And it's sourced, you know, people are commenting on this to Jake. And so why would OG be dissatisfied? You know, why would he be underwhelmed with his role? I think it would be fair if OG was underwhelmed with his role. He started off the year getting quite a few isolation possessions, getting to work with a lot of freedom. And, you know, that's kind of how the Raptors have operated. We saw it with DeMar with a lot of isolation. We saw it with Pascal Siakam with a lot of isolation. We're seeing it now with OG. We even see it a bit with Precious Achiuwa, right? And the Raptors are giving guys a lot of license to try things out without this heavy, overbearing framework, which people can disagree with from, you know, an offensive philosophy point of view, and I have no problem with that. But them's the breaks. Nick Nurse has openly commented, you know, in his press that he wants to get OG looks early and often. And Pascal Siakam is often the arbiter of making that happen. He looks early and often for OG in the post. He tries to get him with hit-ahead passes all the time. He's the best post-entry passer on the team. And OG ended up at the end of the season being the Raptors' highest usage post guy. He scored the most points out of the post. He had the most assists out of the post, and he had the most touches in the post. However, Scottie Barnes does get more touches than OG. And it's important to know what touches are. And a touch is just that, measured by advanced stats like NBA, second spectrum, and time on ball and stuff like that is maybe a little bit more important as far as what type of freedom these players have. And OG does spend a decent amount of time on ball. It's okay for him to want more, though, because OG doesn't have to share the express interests of what the Raptors want. He's totally allowed to want things for his career, and he may want more possessions as some of his more freelance possessions kind of were siphoned away in favor of going with Scottie's development at times, but a lot of the time, servicing an all-NBA season for Pascal Siakam. And that was the best way forward for the Raptors, you know, certainly to win games and be in the position that they were, to lean hard on Pascal, the best player on the team. And so that brings us to, is OG upset? Does he want to move on? I don't think that he wants to move on. I think that there's a reason that the wording in the article carefully expresses that this is outward interest. And of course, other teams want OG Anunoby. Utah, of course, would want OG Anunoby. He would be the best wing. Like, he's better than Bogdanovich. You know, he's not as good as Donovan Mitchell. He's not as good as Rudy Gobert, but he's a hell of a player. You know, the wording in the article says that the list of suitors would be long. Portland and Utah were just listed at the top. You know, Portland, they're trying to rebuild, I guess, around Dame. And OG would be a fantastic fit next to Dame. So teams want OG, and OG had a lesser role than maybe he wanted. These are normal things in the NBA, and little things get reported, and that's kind of what drives all this stuff. But I thought it was interesting because this is the first time we're getting this from OG. Been through a lot. He's been one of Toronto's main guys for some time. The fan base loves him. You know, by all accounts, he seems to love it in Toronto. So let's talk about the packages or the trades that would be proposed by either Utah or Portland. So Portland, reportedly, the Raptors were just very underwhelmed with the idea of the 7th overall pick and Josh Hart, which is a nice little package, but OG is much more than a nice little player. He's a very, very good player in the NBA. He's on a tremendous contract, and he's clearly has room for growth. So all of that stuff is totally, you know, fine. The Raptors can look at that and say, no, we don't want that. You know, in the article as well, it says that the Raptors have named their top six guys as untouchable. So that is everybody in the starting lineup: Precious, Gary, Fred, Pascal, OG, and Scotty. They've all said, and, you know, they use the term posturing in this piece, that they're untouchable. And I think that's a proper way to approach it. It's like, all these guys are good. Many of them are young, and the other guys are all-star, all-NBA level. If somebody wants to pry them away from you, you know, you pay a king's ransom. And OG is understandably in that boat. So the 7th overall pick and Josh Hart is not king's ransom material. Does Portland want to part ways with Anfernee Simons? I expect not. So I don't expect a lot of traction on that or anything, especially since this is also, you know, this is just reporting around, you know, maybe OG is a little bit upset. Maybe he wants a bigger role and other teams really want him. And then, so let's go to the Utah thing. Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell, right? We don't know which one Utah wants to get rid of or if they want to blow up both, but there's no way that trade happens without one of those two guys coming back. And there's a very large contract disparity between OG and Rudy in particular. Between OG and Donovan, I think it's closer to $10 million. I guess there's ways they could bridge that gap. But also, just given the context of Utah's team, trading Donovan without getting, you know, a very reliable pick-and-roll ball handler or creator back would disrupt one of the best offenses in the end. They'd have a tough time, more than likely, even with Mike Conley in tow. And Rudy Gobert is making so much money that the Raptors would likely have to give up OG and Gary Trent Jr., which, as far as I'm concerned, is a non-starter. That's just so much to give up. OG is a significantly valuable player, as is Gary Trent Jr. I expect that, honestly, and I believe Blake Murphy used this terminology as well, but OG is probably the Raptors' best trading chip. So the rumors have begun. Does that mean he'll be traded? I don't think so. I think that he still has a full contract. You know, he's not even halfway through his 4-year, $72 million contract with the Raptors. A great contract for what it's worth. I think they're going to find a way to work it out. We saw a similar thing happen with Siakam last summer. Reports, you know, from outside interest, reports that he was less than happy with what was happening in Toronto as well. And and people were looking to make moves. I believe that this rumor with OG is of even less consequence than the rumors around Pascal Siakam. And Pascal just suited back up with the Raptors, got a surgery, and turned out an all-NBA season. So I think everything's going to shake out just fine with OG. I understand why he would want more. I understand why other teams would want him. And that's kind of what drives trade rumors and all that kind of stuff. So little things become big things, but little things rarely ever become trades. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for kicking around the OG talk with me. Big shout out to OG. really cool guy, really great player, and looking forward to seeing more time with the Raptors. Okay, thanks for tuning in. I'll see you.